Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praise and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
And welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's a great day here in Danger Studios. I got two very funny comedians with me here, Mr. Mike Kaplan.
Hello, thanks.
And Rich Voss. Hold on.
Did you just call this Danger Studios?
Yeah.
What the fuck makes this dangerous?
What makes it dangerous?
Yes.
Well, there's been some blood drawn in this studio.
Oh.
Yeah.
You had a blood drive?
Yeah.
Somebody has insulin?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dog has diabetes, so we give her the shots in here, too.
I like your black belts.
You like them? You ever study? Did you ever train?
Years ago, I used to do Taekwondo back in... used to fight in tournaments and stuff.
You wore the chest protectors?
No, not in tournament. No.
Yeah, in Taekwondo tournaments.
No, we didn't even have safety kicks on.
Yeah, you had to have something. I mean,
we had safety kicks. Like, you know what safety kicks are.
Well, in martial arts, it's either the socks. Like in Taekwondo, you wore the socks, like or a shin pad, like a little pad on your front of your foot.
No, because you're not in Taekwondo when you're fighting a tournament. You're not supposed to kick below the belt in Taekwondo.
Right, but you kicked to the chest.
To the chest. So in the tournaments, there was no, you had, what did I call them?
Safety kicks?
Yeah, safety kicks. It was a foam, it was like a foam shoe.
Right.
But not the bottom. Like if you did a side kick like that, you were still, and even a roundhouse.
Right.
Or a reverse, you could still, you know.
Oh, yeah. The foam was not even a half inch thick. Yeah. It's not like it's, you know.
Safety kicks.
That was Danger Studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was nothing on our hands. I was fighting this guy for first place nighttime. It was my school, his school was BKG, but it was an open tournament. He was Japanese, Okinawa,
right.
And I'm kicking, he's blocking everything.
Right.
Every kick I'm throwing, he's blocking. Then I threw a left foot roundhouse. He blocked it with everything in the world. He hit me in the solar plexus, and I just went down.
Sure.
And my friend in his video, back then they had the cameras. Remember when they were like about this big? And he won by 1 point. Wow. 1-0.
Most of like in the martial arts, you had like the Karate Kid type stuff, which is point karate. And that's usually karate where you point and you can't hit to the face. You can like pull a punch and then it counts. But you can kick to the body, and all that.
You could kick to the face.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to, you could still kick, but you're supposed to use some sort of restraint.
Not with these people.
Well,
and when I say these people,
yeah, what do you mean? But like eventually, they had what's called the Olympic style Taekwondo, which is where you wear the chest protectors and you have the headgear, little foamy headgear with no face mask, and those little things you put on your hand, and eventually you had like those. You had a shin protector and those foot pads. They're basically like foot little thing. The worst thing about the foot pads, you'd always get your foot fucked up. Like you'd kick and it'd get between your toe and it'd all screw up and then
the whole thing, it couldn't get between your toe. It was just one big
it
round.
It covers, right.
Covers.
But you still had something where your toe was, so it would at least hold it.
Yeah, the little strap.
Right. And then that was a piece of shit to have the time because you'd throw a kick and then it would move and now it wasn't through your toe, big toe, it was between your middle toes.
That's why I never did martial arts.
No.
Yeah.
Those little, until I get those right.
Well, now I was doing clothing designs for clothing.
Right.
And I did a piece for H&M, but I got fired.
Did you see that thing? The smartest little monkey in this. What was that one?
I don't know. How dumb. These are big corporations. They're supposed to be pretty smart people that run it. You didn't see this ad on anywhere?
I didn't.
A clothing line of hoodies came out, H&M, and little kids were wearing them, and they had sayings. One had a zebra with a saying. One had whatever. And there was one that said, the coolest or smartest or whatever monkey in the jungle.
Oh, no.
And there's a little...
And they put it on a black kid.
That doesn't seem like the thing they should do.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. And someone made this point the other day. The people that think that are the racists.
Right.
Maybe not the people that did it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They probably go, what the fuck? It's just, we don't... And plus the company's, I think, from Switzerland or somewhere.
Yeah, they're from Holland or whatever.
Yeah. So... I'm sure they didn't go, hey, we don't like black people, let's do this. But it's the people in America that see that and had this, you know, the racism in them already or what they've learned or what, you know. Well, so there's an outrage.
That was something I thought about. You know what I mean? It's like it's almost like, it, like you said, it was never meant or intended to be a racial comment. And, you know, it's a cute comment, the smartest monkey in the jungle. It's like, you know, and all of a sudden, just because it happened to be a black kid on there, everybody's making these assumptions, you know, like, oh, well, this is horrendous.
Well, I mean, look, the parents let him do it.
Right.
His parents obviously were there during the photo shoot.
Right. He's wearing it. They say what they see what he's wearing. They're not going to go, hey, wait a minute.
So they don't know that's racist in that country.
Right.
They're like children.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, because they don't know, you know, like a child will see something and isn't, you know, hateful in their heart.
Right.
And like that whole, you know, country, let's say, or a culture that doesn't have as many, as much diversity, as many people of color, like they are in the world. You know, it's like the same way with comedy, you know, like stand-up comedy isn't everywhere. So when they start doing comedy places, they do all like the older jokes, the stereotypes, the things that they've heard and think are like, okay, that we're like, oh, that's not, we don't do that anymore. That's not cool.
Well, don't say we.
It's dangerous.
You're right.
Like, I'm sure people in Holland don't understand what the expression wet vac means.
I don't know.
Wet vac or wet back.
Oh, wet back.
Wet vac is like a Roomba. It's a different
that's
kind
one of, that's one of my jokes. I associate the two.
Didn't know.
And a joke. But yeah, that's why I'm so used to saying wet vac.
Wet vac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I asked my wife to go to Home Depot and get a wet vac. She came back with a guy named Juan. It's a play on words, right? So
it's horrible. Drop
well,
it.
hey, you're both right. It's a horrible play on words.
Yeah. Sorry. I got some last on it. Until I write some more new material. That's good.
So that was the big story this week.
Oh, wow.
And
I missed it.
You know.
Happy to be here now.
But do you think as like think about what like recently what happened with the Golden Globes. I don't know if you guys watched that this weekend. There's some people that are talking about how the women all wore black as a way of solidarity towards sexual discrimination and things like that in Hollywood and everything.
But it was very
provocative. But you know, like some people are saying, like you're going against.
They're not, because I mean I thought that as a joke, as the bit you're going, oh look what you're. But if a lady walks past you naked, that doesn't give you the right to touch her. It doesn't matter. If you're laying in bed both naked and a lady says no, then that means no.
Right.
So just because a lady's wearing something provocative to look sexy does not give a guy the right to hit on her or touch her.
But he can get a boner if he wants, right?
You can look at a tree and get a boner. I don't give a fuck what gets you a boner. You just got to keep your hands. It's just how it is.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, a woman shouldn't dress down. You know, to keep herself safe. You know, it should be guys should learn how to keep them hands to keep their hands to themselves. Right? I mean, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a difference between, and here's the fine line. There's a difference between harassment and a compliment. You know, so where do we draw the line where you can compliment somebody at work? You can't even, if you have a real job.
Yeah,
you can't even say anything to anybody because.
I think technically, and I don't know if this is like legal, but certainly harassment, if it's repeated and rebuffed, if you say something that you think is a compliment once, then that is like certainly not as much of a problem as if the person's like, no, thank you, please don't, or they don't give you anything like positive to say, keep going,
and
then you do it again. If you do something repeatedly, that's harassment.
Okay, yeah, true, yeah. I mean, if someone comes in, a lady and go, nice dress or nice hairdo.
Once, and if somebody then says, like, can we keep it professional or, you know, whatever it might be. Obviously, if there's, like, a power dynamic, you might not be able to know. You might not get the no that they should be able to give you.
But, you know, so a guy walks in with a hat. Nice hat. That's not, you know.
Nice hat.
Nice hat. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
yeah, you got one.
There's, yeah, I've never had a real job, pretty much. So,
sure.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I've always had my own business or whatever. So, yeah, that's right. If you keep doing it, it's harassing.
But some guys don't get the point. Like I used to work in a bank a lot as a financial advisor. Hmm. So it's like, you know, sometimes you know, and they're all women. They're mostly women working in the bank. So you had to be very careful, you know, what you said. You know, like, you know, and every once in a while, like, I to this day, I can still remember this one woman. She was like one of these MILF. She was a MILF, you know, but this was before the expression came out. And I remember one time I was sitting in the break room and she's like, oh, you know, I'm just so upset with my husband. I got to do something crazy tonight. I got to get out and do something really crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, well, you know. You know, and I'm thinking, and of course, I'm like in my 20s. I'm like, well, why don't we go? And, you know, but you couldn't, you know, you don't want to fall for that shit. You can't. And you're right. You can't. Nowadays, you can't do anything. You can't take any chances. But there's a lot of people that don't get it. Like if you say to a woman, oh, you look great in that blouse. Right. And if you're a creepy fuck, the lady's going to be like, oh, you know, thanks. You know, and she's going to kind of show that she's not like, if a woman says, oh, thank you. Oh, you know, thanks. I really like the shirt, blah, blah, blah. You know, you would hope you would be able to give her another compliment.
I remember one time I said to this lady, you look really good in that dress. And she stared at me. So I rolled my window up and pulled away. You know, you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah. You can't, you know, you got to be careful nowadays. Right. I mean, but that was an interesting
thing. The great thing about comedy on stage, you can say anything you want because, you know, people were going after Chappelle for the transgender stuff. And these are the same people going after him that were fighting for their rights to do what they wanted. You see what I'm saying? So when you go after a comic and the First Amendment, and the one thing we have that no one, you know, is the, and the, one is our creativity and the freedom of expression. Once that's taken away, then there's no such thing as comedy anymore. Because if you can't express yourself the way you want,
right,
then what the fuck are you doing comedy for? You know, same with a musician, you know.
I don't think people should use G chords anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No one says to an artist, don't use yellow. You know, so I do whatever I want on stage.
Right.
Whatever. I know where to draw the line, only from being doing it so long. You know where to draw the line.
Sure. And yeah. And also, over the course of time, obviously, the things that people did say in society and then thus on stage as well, like, it wasn't exactly you just say what society says. You know, like, Lenny Bruce went to jail. George Carlin, I think, went to jail. Like, for saying things that today are all over the place because, like, you know, we are progressing as a society and there are things that we're not supposed to say these things, but like, oh, I don't want to be an asshole to a person. If, you know, if a transgender woman says I'm a woman, I'm going to say that person's a woman. That's I accept.
I know, but I mean, they're still going to hell, but they're going as a woman. You know,
welcome to hell, lady.
You know,
it doesn't matter.
Just so they know, you know, that's okay. Whatever. Listen,
It's interesting. Somebody said because. There's a lot of talk about that with transgenders, where if somebody's a let's say a guy, but it recognizes themselves as a female, right? I mean, to be polite, you're supposed to say, oh, hi, you know, use the proper pronoun or whatever.
I would say more than to be polite, to be, you know, kind and compassionate and, you know, just there's no reason to not accept. If somebody says I'm a woman, then there's no reason to say, no, you're not.
Unless they don't buy your merchandise.
That's correct, yeah.
You know?
then it's over. Forget that.
You're right. I mean, I don't care what anybody does.
Yeah.
Right.
It's none of my... I don't care.
People have made the comparison to that woman who thought she was black that ran the NAACP.
Well, that's...
No, it's not. If you think about the argument, we're not talking about being polite, but the argument is if you're born a man, then you're a man. And, you know, if you...
Yeah, but that's... You know, because that's hormones. She's almost, that's hormones, and that's... There's a difference between physical and mental. All right. Mm-hmm. If you're born, you know, there's a guy trapped inside you or a woman trapped inside because of your hormones. But if you mentally think you're Asian or black, that's a mental issue. That's not, there's no, it's not harmonic, if that's the word.
Is yeah, but cool? I mean, whether science has been proven to say that hormonally somebody says they feel now that they're a woman, they're not. Biologically, you're a man. Everything there is a man. So you could say psychologically this person has something, and that's the differentiate. Now,
No, because a lot of men or females have the opposite gender's hormones in their body.
Well, we all do, don't we? To some extent, don't we all?
I don't know.
It is we all exist somewhere on a spectrum of, I mean, even just calling things like masculine and feminine or male and female, like these are words that we're attaching to concepts that aren't absolute, that aren't, like there are people with, you know, XY chromosomes, XX chromosomes, there's XXY chromosomes, there's XXX, there's like people with, and it's not just your chromosomes and it's not just your hormones, but we all do have different levels of these, you know, sort of traits and things. Like they've done, I think, studies. If you think that there are masculine traits and feminine traits, very few people have all of one or all of the other.
The guy who was in Sons of Anarchy, he's definitely like, he's a caveman guy. Right? You know, the guy who was Ron Perlman, the actor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That guy has no female. I would guess he has no female, like, tendencies.
Yeah, but the lady that said she was black, that's, I grew up in an all-black neighborhood.
Right.
You know, I know the culture.
Right.
I've lived it. But I've never, ever considered myself black.
Right.
Well, there's obviously,
I mean, when my electricity was cut off. Go ahead.
The way that people are treated because of how they look is one thing. Like if you say that I feel something but you don't look it, then you don't have necessarily the same experience
right.
as somebody who feels it and feels it because it's being done to them. And you know, as we're all here, seemingly straight white men or whatever we are, we certainly present as like the way like. We can't understand what it is like to be anything other than ourselves.
That's well. First of all, I don't consider myself white. I consider myself a Jew.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I consider
So a religion over, over ethnicity.
No, you're right. But it's when I say white, when you say white, you're thinking Chase Manhattan Bank. You're thinking white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. To me.
So you're like going all the way back to Neanderthal.
I'm talking about the oppressors in this country and were originally white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Those were the oppressors. Those were the slave owners.
Right.
Those are not Jews. So we have our own battle, our own struggle, you know, amongst the world. You know, blacks. There's racism in this country, but there's anti-Semitism around the world. So I'm not going to take the struggle that I deal with as a Jew that I see around the anti-Semitism and then also have to deal with the white guilt or the white, what do you call it?
Privilege?
Privilege.
I mean, we do get the privilege of not being murdered by the police.
Yes.
That is afforded to all people with skin color that isn't darker.
Well, that's
than
not
ours.
Exactly yes. true. A lot of white people get shot by yes. police.
We look at the numbers, and it is definitely
more white people get killed by police than.
Well,
than
you got to go by
more,
statistics.
Yeah, by ratio, drastically more black people. Drastically more. I can pull it up for you if you want.
Well, I've done the numbers too, but it was like over.
No, you can't have done the numbers yeah. and gotten the opposite.
No.
Well, there's 13% black people in this country.
As a percentage of what they're doing, but as what is committing crimes, that's you know. That's a different ratio too. It's not
committing crimes. That's the people who are getting sort of looked at and you know policed overly. You know, there's more black people in jail not because necessarily more black people are committing crimes, but because more police are looking for black people that are committing crimes and yeah. making them.
Well, mm-hmm. you know, yes. When they people look at it, they go white when they look at you, mm-hmm. but I know in my head. The anti-Semitism around. I know it. I see it.
Of course.
I don't go travel and work Europe or whatever. I don't want to anyhow, but you like someone could like if you're black, no one's going to usually say something racist right in front of you, but you'll hear anti-Semitic stuff all the time because they don't know.
That's true.
You know, and people think, oh, Jews, they run the country. That's such bullshit. I'm sick. There's 3% of us. Three. That doesn't say a lot for the 97% if we ran this country.
Now, he made a point about how there's racism against blacks, is like racial profiling of police, et cetera, things like that. When it comes to Jews, aside from, you know, they run the country, this and that. Yeah. But saying saying you run the country, you know, I mean, how bad could that make you feel? Like, in other words,
because all the bullshit that goes down, all the negative stuff.
Like, that's what I want to mean. Like, as a Jew, what would you say would be the most hurtful thing that if you experienced it, like, if you, like, in
the
other
Holocaust?
Words, well, not. No, I don't
that'd
mean,
be pretty hurtful.
I don't. Well, it was years ago, obviously. What I'm talking about now and today, like, in other words,
what's the most hurtful thing,
like,
that I could?
Yeah, like as a Jew, like, what would be something that, you know? I don't
it's
just
not
mean
hurtful.
Words.
It's the perception,
right?
It's the perception I see. You know, you see through blacks, through supremacy. Okay, when they were marching in Charlottesville,
saying
they were yelling,
Jews will not replace us.
Replace us. Yeah. And I don't know too many lawyers and doctors and scientists that are saying, you know what, this isn't good enough. We need to work in some shithole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not religious by any stretch of the imagination. But I do know one thing. If you're laying on a hospital bed ready to have heart surgery, you better pray a Star David's hanging in your fucking face. Or if you're ready to face 10 to 20 years in prison, you better pray your lawyer's last name ends in Steen.
Right.
All right? So the WASP run this country. The Catholic Church owns the most property in New York City.
Right.
They own the most.
In the world, right? In the,
probably.
Besides
probably
the Queen,
the
actually, the Queen of England owns, when I understand, the royal family owns a lot more private property than anybody.
The top 10 businesses in this world, or in this country, I just watch on the internet, they're not Jewish run. Yes, they go, oh, you run Hollywood. Well, guess what? In a capitalistic society, that's the business they chose, and they expanded on it. You know who really runs Hollywood? The fucking banks. That's who's financing these movies. That's who's running.
And
right.
So once we figure out who controls the banks, then that's who we should hate.
Well, now we get into the Rothschilds and Illuminati discussions, right? I mean, the New World Order. If you're going to deal that way.
Listen,
being Hispanic, you know, I dealt with some racism when it came to that. Oh, you know, you guys are slick. You know, you steal cars, that kind of shit. But you know what? It's always been like, you know, to me, it's always like if it doesn't attain to me, then it's not me. You could say whatever the fuck. Like, if somebody calls you an asshole or calls me an asshole, unless I think I'm an asshole, I'm not going to let it bug me. You know what I mean? So, listen, racism. I think 95% of people are racist. Whether or not, you know, they act on that, or their daily decisions and how they do things is predicated on that. That's a whole different story. You know, but whether their racism is based on just natural upbringing and things they've, you know, habits they've been through and they've heard. And some of this stuff is self-perpetuated, you know, because there's some stereotypes that kind of fall into favor because that's the way it is. Like, somebody's talking about, like, fried chicken. It's a soul food. You know, it was cooked in the South. You know, it was like so.
Well, it's because it was inexpensive.
Right.
Okay. And if you go to any goddamn black neighborhood in this country, all they have are fucking shitty fast food restaurants.
Right.
In those neighborhoods. So that's what people are going to eat.
It's not going to be caviar. That's the black food. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, it is
not
black.
There's not too many fucking bagelicious in Harlem. You know. So look, old Jews are cheap, and the reason why, because they had everything fucking taken from them, or their ancestors did. They were chased out of Europe. All their possessions, all their money, everything was taken, and they were chased out. Iranian Jews chased out the other Jews, kept all of their stuff. So older Jews saw their parents or their grandparents lose everything. So, yeah, they held on to whatever they could, and they stuck together, and they built whatever they built. That's the thing.
Right.
If you see Jews, you know, 50 years and younger, they're not fucking cheap, you know, unless
not any more than, like, there's a lot of people that enjoy having money and
yeah,
holding on to it. And I mean, especially no young people, very few young people have money at all these days.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, look, that, you know, I don't know. It's, yeah, stereotypes do exist.
Right. And,
yeah, but not in the overall. It's just a stereotype.
Well, eventually we're becoming a homogenous society, right? I mean, that's what it's all coming down to. That's what these clowns in Charlotte were concerned about, because they felt like, you know, when you look at it, they are. You know, the average white Anglo-Saxon persona or identity is going because the world is blending. It's becoming a smaller place. There's, you know, there's more, you know, if you go back 200 years ago, people didn't, like, you know
travel about black
trans,
people.
Well, yeah. not, but, you know, you didn't have a lot of transcontinental travel and all that. Now you have this, you get on a plane and go anywhere in the world, right, and the people are opening up, and all these other stupid old beliefs about, oh, we got to stick with our own kind. That shit's falling out. That's gone the way of the dodo bird.
Look,
so, you know, it's a good thing, you know.
You know, you travel in the country. I was in Ohio a couple of weeks ago. Probably one of the poorest states in the country, Ohio, Michigan. Ohio is probably the poorest state. And people here, it doesn't even have to be Ohio. Anywhere you go, a president, whoever's in office, is not going to change your life. You have to take control and somehow figure out a way to make things fucking work for you. That's
right.
All. Look, I was a drug addict. I got 31 years clean. No one got me clean. I grew up in a bad neighborhood. So you got to figure out a way. No one's going to make your life better. $400 or $500 tax rebate is not going to change your life. You got to take control. You got to break the chain of dysfunction from your family's past and do what you got to fucking do.
We were all put on this earth, right? Like, obviously, I wasn't born as a young black man, so I didn't deal with the disadvantages of that. But I did deal with the disadvantages of being born with parents, brought to this country where parents didn't know geometry. Now, they came straight from Europe, you know, so they didn't help me with homework. My parents didn't have money. So, listen, I didn't have it as good as a lot, and I didn't have it as bad as some. But like you said, I had to make something from where I was.
Yeah.
And the only thing I don't like about stereotypes and these things of when people focus on these racist things, like Morgan Freeman made a comment when he was on the Don Lemon. We posted on our fan page on Facebook with Don Lemon. It's probably a few years ago. And he says, do you think racism affects, you know, people in a sense? He goes, no. He goes, I'm proof of it, you know. I grew up in wherever it was, Missouri, in the real hard in the South, and he goes, I still made it because he made decisions. He broke away from those reasons why he should fail. And the only thing I always get concerned with, and I mentor young black youth, I went for Boys Clubs of America, and I said, look, don't buy all this shit, you know, because it doesn't have to be true. The only reason it becomes true is if it is true to you and you accept it. You know, all the shit you hear, you know, I played soccer in college as a goalkeeper. I'm 5'9".
Okay.
Most goalkeepers are like 6'2", right? So, and I still, you know what I mean? If knowing what I know now, I would have played baseball instead, right? But I still fought my way through it.
And now you're a professional soccer player.
No, I'm not, actually. Oh. But I did go to college.
You're the Morgan Freeman of soccer.
That's right.
I quit high school.
I mean, saying one person, obviously, isn't proof of, you know, that everybody can't be Morgan Freeman. Everybody can't do exactly what he did. Everybody can, you know, hopefully, you know, obviously, some people die as a baby. Those kids didn't have a chance.
Right.
Like if you're born, you know, to parents that treat you a certain way before you have the capacity to do something. And if you're in a society that does a similar thing to you, you know, not everybody does have the same opportunities, the same chances. Of course, I mean, everybody has to deal with what they have and make the best of they can.
I was never going to be a pole vaulter. Right, I have to come to that realization.
Hey man, don't let people tell you that.
But listen, I know now.
I used to mentor young pole vaulters.
Yeah.
No, he's yeah.
Polish vaulters, yeah.
There's quite a disadvantage to poor people or people that grow up in, you know. I mean, you go to the inner city, there's not as many libraries as there is in
food deserts and it's just people. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question though. As hard as it is for those people, and the ones who then do what it takes to get through, that their character is a lot stronger than the person who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth because that character was developed. through working hard and busting ass, breaking through these chains in a sense.
It's got to be, you got to go by the individual.
I just saw a quote from Russell Brand, who I like a lot. He said, when I was talking about inequality when I was poor, people called me bitter. And now that I'm talking about inequality and I'm rich, people call me a hypocrite. He's like, I'm beginning to suspect people just don't care that much about inequality.
And here's the underlying...
Don't like him.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
The underlying part of that is that what all these other people are saying about him really don't matter in the big picture, right? It's how he feels about himself and the truth he's saying on his own. You know, and that's the problem. When we focus on what somebody says to us, hey, you know, that's a good, you know, with the going back to the beginning of the story, we talked about the kid who said the smartest monkey in the jungle. You know, that little kid that was wearing that thing, he's not thinking like the world and the cruelty of the world.
Well,
he's thinking, I'm cool little, monkeys are cool. Like, you know, you think of monkeys, when I think of monkeys, I think they're obviously the smartest animal in comparison, right? When you think about things in the jungle.
So the band.
Yeah, the monkeys.
Is he bothering me?
Who is
it? Hold on. I'm doing a podcast. What? Hurry. I'll call you. Wrong number.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, to me, when I think of racism, except when it's brought on and to extreme levels, right? If you're sitting there and the KKK is chasing you down,
if
you're
somebody murders you, just don't listen to them.
No, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, like in everyday situations where racism finds itself and, you know, we either get bogged down in it or we critical over, you know what I mean? Exists. When I recognize somebody has some, you know, make some comments like that, like I've recently had someone said some anti-Semitic comments in front of me. I just kind of gave them a look like, you know, I'm not going to say anything because who am I? You know, I'm not this righteous bastard. I'm just going to say, look, I'm just going to give you a look like it's not acceptable to me. I just want to let you know that it kind of just, you know, and if that person keeps doing it and then I just stop talking with that person, stop hanging on that person, that's just the way it works, right? I mean, that's the way I'm going to handle it. But I don't want to sit there and tell the guy, hey, what the fuck? You know, look, I'm going to recognize that person for who they are. And that's it. I'm going to make my decisions from there.
I mean, you could, what would be wrong with saying like, hey, that doesn't make that. I don't like that. Like, you know, not being a baby about it, just being like, hey, can you not say that to me? I don't believe that. I don't agree with you. You know, why not speak your truth if you don't like it? You know, like a woman, you know, we were talking about before, like if a woman is being hit on by somebody, like in certain situations, if you're worried about your safety, you're not going to, you know, say like, you know, fuck you. If you're going to like, well, now I'm dead. But, you know, they have to at a bar be like, oh, hey, okay. And then, you know, like work your way away from a person. But this in your situation, like you're not worried about them. You've got these black belts, you know, you could speak on behalf of.
The last time I made a comment like that, somebody says, oh, the guy was in there. Boy, that's a really hot black chick. And I just looked at him. I said, how about she's just a hot chick? Like, why distinguish that? And why really make that distinguished?
Is she light skin?
She was pretty hot black chick. But, but I made that comment. Like, in other words, this is just one of these little areas where why make that distinction? You know, if she's hot, she's hot.
Agreed.
You know, that's the way I look at it. You know what I mean? I'm an equal opportunity dater. I don't care. You know what I mean? Always have. You know?
Sure.
Just saying. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Rich Ross, Mike Kaplan. And Rich is going to leave
five
us today.
Minutes.
Oh yeah,
I gave you 35 instead of.
You
going to
you give me five more minutes?
I gave you 30. I'm going to give you 35 instead of 20. I got to go get ready. I've slept 3 hours.
You
got to
get another hat on.
I got to change my clothes and take a shower. I'm working tonight.
I know. Well,
I'm not going to go on in sweatpants.
They're nice looking sweatpants.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
They're presentable. Let me. While we're on that quick subject of what you wear, let me just cover this because on stage. Like I have a certain when I'm on stage, I used to like wear a collared shirt, nice shirt, you know, dress jeans, nice shoes. But as a bigger guy, sometimes I can't stand it when I'm on the road because now I got to bring all these dry clean shirts with me, and it could be a pain in the ass. You got to iron, which is a big pain in the ass, and I don't like to sweat. You know, sometimes you sweat, so I got into a habit of wearing a nice T-shirt.
Sure,
right?
I wear T-shirt.
Yeah, and I'm so much more comfortable on stage now with a T-shirt than I am with a fucking collared shirt and the buttons and everything.
Listen. It depends where you're at, what you're doing, and you know.
Are you working in the Catskills 50 years ago?
Yeah.
You shouldn't wear that T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, you are who you are on stage. It doesn't matter. You know, if you're doing a fucking a theater, you might want to put on a little. I did a 15 or last, right before New Year's in Morristown. You ever did that one? Anyhow.
I think I did that one there.
So I get, you know, I picked my show and I put the MC on and he came in a T-shirt. I go, there's 1,100 fucking people here.
Especially as an MC.
I
think if you're MCing.
You don't wear a fucking T-shirt as an MC. You just don't.
Right.
Hey, you know what's really interesting?
What?
This is going to be MC is 1,100 in Roman numerals. There's 1,100 people.
Oh.
That's just a weird thing.
Wow.
Look at that.
Jesus.
I wish I could. If I was black, I'd figure out how to play the numbers. I'm
who's,
sorry.
Who's got a Ouija board? This is scary.
Yes.
Some days I wear. Know what I do now? I wear. Tonight I'm not. But I wear. I love flannels now. Especially they're comfortable. It's cold back home. And I don't know why I did it, but I buttoned the top button like I just got out of a Mexican prison, like I,
right.
you know, with one of my. And someone goes, "Oh, that looks good on you." So now I always wear my flannels button like I'm in a fucking gang, and it just.
Yeah, it was one of the Latin kings who thought you looked good, by the way.
Well, no, but it's the persona to carry this tough persona, but also to show another side, you
right.
know, whatever. But, you know, some days it's a T-shirt. In the summer, it's Cuban.
Cubavera?
Cuavera. Cuavera?
Cubavera.
Cuavera. Cuavera?
Cubavera. They were made by Perry Ellis.
Right.
The company Cubavera is owned by Perry Ellis.
Oh, no, but the name of the shirt is Cuavera. That's what they're called.
You mean the Cuban with the pockets
in
the front
the
stuff?
Yeah, the barber shirts.
Yeah.
I got like 7, 8. I got one I bought when I was in Cabo in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I got some real ones and some, you know, like you say, from Sears. But they're the most comfortable fucking shirts in the summer.
Yeah.
You know? And
I can't wear linen. You ever wear linen?
I got one linen.
It's the worst fucking shirt. They wrinkle the minute you put it on. It looks good. And then 10 seconds later, it looks like you've been rolling around in the dirt.
Welcome to gay talk.
In today's day and age, anyone's allowed
to
talk about clothing.
I know.
I like clothes. See, like we're talking about, like there's a feminine, like I went to see the movie The Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman, which was amazing, about Winston Churchill.
I did radio with him about a month ago.
Really?
I sat next to him, and we'll get to it. I'm telling you, and you know how many people we meet in this business. I was fucking starstruck.
Wow.
He's awesome, dude.
I was like, whoa. He walked in. I go, hey, I'm Rich Voss. I'm a comic. He goes, I know who you are.
Well,
I know he was lying, probably. He goes, I have TV. I knew he was lying, but or maybe not. I don't. But sitting next, you know, like, it was fucking, he's so good. He's not a Hollywood actor. He's
right.
an actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It took me like 7 movies to know what he looked like. He like looks different all the time.
But the thing about the movies he's been in, he was in like he was in Batman, right? He was in the with he played Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
He was in the movie with Bruce The Fifth Element.
Oh yeah.
And he was that really evil guy. Remember? Chaos creates chaos.
He was in the great movie The Drug Dealer and Brad Pitt was in it. Was it Thelma and Louise? No. What fucking movie?
But this guy, like his range, and then of course, like in that, if you watch that movie, he's got a lot of makeup on. Because he looks like an old fat, you know.
He wasn't
chubby.
Nominated for a Golden Globe.
He won. He won the male
best actor.
Yeah,
this year in the Golden Globes.
Yeah,
he was won he it. There?
He was there. It? And I got to tell you, in the middle of that movie, there's a scene where he goes out into the subway systems and stuff, and he's talking to people. I'm starting to cry. You know, I'm starting to tear. My wife looks at me and she's like, you know. So that's like that was like my Y chromosome coming out. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like, oh, this guy's acting role was so great on that. I stopped looking at the makeup. Like he was so fucking believable. Like the first few minutes, like, oh my God, that's Gary Oldman. Then you're starting to try to figure out his makeup and stuff. And then you're looking like 5 minutes into it. I'm like, I don't even want to look at it.
One of his best movies is fucking Romeo is Bleeding.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a fucking good movie. He was in The Professional. He's fucking tons of them.
He was in The Book of Eli.
Yes, he was the bad guy.
Yeah,
I liked that movie. People didn't like it. I
liked it too. It's been on a few times. I watched it two or three times in the last month or two.
Anything Denzel's in, I don't give a fuck. You put Denzel and Gary Oldman together. Look, I just watched a show on fucking Amazon called Goliath, and it's Billy Bob Thornton and William Hurt doing TV. They're top fucking actors.
Yeah.
Not even TV. Computer.
Yeah.
They're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Streaming.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Amazon.
The smallest screen possible.
Well, no, it's on TV, on Apple TV or whatever. I got to see that movie. Was it good?
I'm telling you, yeah. It was amazing. And it was, you know, it's just a great, you know, it's a great time. You know, it was a desperate hour, and it was the darkest one. Yeah, I mean, it was like people, like the country itself.
Well, is this about World War II?
Yeah, it was during the time when Dunkirk was there, yeah. And the Germans were plowing through through Europe. They were just into France.
It's a crossover with Dunkirk.
And basically, the English government was like, we need to come up with it. We need to broker a deal with Mussolini. To surrender, you know, peace talks and fucking went church was like with Hitler, you know, it's like, right. What are you fucking nuts? You know, it's almost like to me in a comparison, in a sense, where people say, oh, we should really talk it out with fucking Kim Jong-un, you know, and I don't care what anybody says about, you know, when people to me, they're worried about fucking North Korea. I'm like, what the fuck is the matter with you? You know, like this country is not going to fear North Korea. You know, if you want to fear something, fear China, fear Iran, you know, fear fucking Russia, but don't fucking fear North Korea. You know what I mean? Don't give the schmuck.
Well, it's not your fear in North Korea, but if you go to war with North Korea, it starts a world war, because then
China's involved.
You know, Russia's involved. You don't just go to a war with a communist country and somebody else is not getting involved.
We're just concerned that many people will die in nuclear explosions,
yes. Right.
Due to unhinged leaders in a few places.
Yes.
Those are, yeah. If I just, it's nicer when, I'm not a big fan of politicians as a general rule, but it's nice when, like, we hadn't, for most of my life, it wasn't a thing where I was like, oh, is this, are legitimately, will there be a nuclear war? In my lifetime, I never thought about it.
No, you shouldn't have to think about it, because that's the end of civilization.
Right. There's not
almost.
You don't have to worry about the pancakes being done at that point.
I want to say real quick that I loved your impression of Churchill. What are you fucking son of a god?
What's the name of the movie?
Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour. Yeah.
How come we didn't get that as a screener? We got all these screeners.
I did too. Yeah. I don't know. I got it. You can watch it on your. You know. You can do some online. It's in my ones you can watch online.
Oh really?
Yeah. If you have like a code, a set for SAG-AFTRA.
No, for the Writers Guild.
Oh, okay. I got them for SAG-AFTRA.
But I should get them for SAG-AFTRA too.
You should.
I don't know why everybody. I mean, maybe I just don't get it. Lady Bird. It was okay, but I mean, people were saying this is the best thing since apple pie.
It might not be. You know, you might be like the target demographic for it, possibly. But also, people were like talking it up so much that you might have had higher expectations. Yeah.
And same with the look. I love Meryl Streep. Love watching her.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. But yeah. Did you see the Shape of Water?
No, I heard that's good.
I like it. I mean, it's beautiful, but I don't want to blow it up too much for you.
Those guys, when we were in Reno a couple weeks ago at Laugh Factory. Joey Medina went to see it, and he's a big movie guy.
Yeah.
And he says it should win probably one of the best movies of the year.
Well, they won at the Golden Globe.
Yeah, they won the best director.
Yeah,
That guy won.
From another country.
Yeah. That foreign bastard.
Yeah. So Gary Oldman won Best Actor.
Yeah.
Good.
He won it that night. And now, you know, that was it. And I predicted, because after I came home and watched it, I go, you know, even Gary, I'd like to thank the Academy. I mean, that's just going to be a great movie. Because that to me, like, that was inspiring to me, because when I'm always inspired by things when it seems like there's no hope at all. Like, you know, here's a guy with a country. Everybody was trying to tell this guy, look, we got to quit. We got to do this. He's like, what the, you know. We're not going to. And he went out to the people, and the people in England said, you know, we're not surrendering. You know, this is England. We're not fucking giving up. You know, we're not giving up to Hitler. You're going to work out a peaceful deal with Hitler? You know what I mean? It's not going to happen.
Rotterdam too.
Yeah.
We're not giving up to anyone except for America long ago.
Yeah, we lost to those guys. Other than that,
I got one. I got to get
USA.
Ready.
You got it. Well, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and Rich Voss has been here. Don't forget tonight, Wise Guys Comedy Show. There may be one or two tickets left if you're lucky, folks. Go out there and tonight.
This weekend I'll be at the Comedy Inn in Miami. But if you want to hear one of the best podcasts on the planet, it's called My Wife Hates Me on Riotcast Network. My Wife Hates Me. And then you'll listen to it and you'll become one of our Patreon subscribers.
Right.
We just started Patreon about a month ago.
What do they get that other people don't get?
Patreon now, well, they get an extra bonus podcast, or I put up this week I put up one of my CDs. I did one podcast with my 10-year-old daughter. They got that.
Oh, I like that.
So
10.
We've only had it like going about a month now.
Cool.
So, you know, we'll do extra podcasts here. I'll put up one of my CDs until I'm done doing those. We got through some videos on and stuff. It's kind of cool, this Patreon thing.
Sweet.
You know, I just, you know.
What do you mean by that? What am I missing? A Patreon, like.
Patreon, you become. It's
if people give you a certain amount of money per month or per thing,
they get extra content.
We have a Patreon page where people can donate like $1, $2, or $3 a month, yeah, whatever. Here, that
we don't
donate.
We've been doing our podcast for 5 or 6 years, and we don't make money. We do it in our dining room. We've done 300 episodes, me and Bonnie, and we go, what the fuck? Why, you know? I mean,
yeah,
people have made careers out of them, and we just do it for the fuck of it, just so we have a place to fight on mics. And, you know.
But now.
Now we got maybe 50 subscribers. If I get up to 200, 300, it'll help. And it'll give us motivation to do more.
Afford the divorce.
Well, yeah. And it gives us motivation to be more creative and do more stuff. Videos and.
Definitely.
Different.
And add the stuff. Well, go. Listen to My Wife Hates Me.
All right. Listen, I will see you girls tonight. Or guys, or whatever you are. I don't know what's happening inside your bodies.
I'm all those things.
I'll be all of it myself. We're going to take a break here real quick on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and we'll be right back with some straight from the headline stories right after this.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
And welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. It's not hard nowadays. You know, let me ask you, you watch porn?
I do at times. I currently... have a girlfriend, and we have sex.
Right.
So that's what I... When I don't have a girlfriend, then I probably
watch
more porn.
You rely on more of the porn, yeah. So I have a wife, but I still watch porn.
Oh, I'm not opposed, but just... yeah, sometimes I'll use my imagination, or like I have an open relationship, so I'll sometimes sext with other people.
Oh, yeah.
And so I like interacting with a person that I know and care about more than I do. I mean, I have enjoyed porn many times over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a go-to when you're bored. You know, and I would say this, like, do you think more women today are watching porn?
I would say in real numbers, that probably sounds true, that if I had to guess.
Well, according to Pornhub.
Wait a second.
Women watch more porn in 2017 than ever before.
Wow.
It's that time of year when we look back at the what kind of porn everyone watched last year.
I know there's a lot of incest porn in there.
Yeah?
Definitely.
I'm not a big incest. You know, I can't get over the gangbang. You know, if I'm going to watch a porn, I might as well just watch gangbang porn.
I mean, everyone should watch and enjoy whatever.
Yeah, I was a lesbian. Of course, like anything, the old go-to, you want to watch two chicks, three chicks.
Many people
four
do.
Four chicks. But even after a while, you're like, okay, let's try something different.
Sure.
You know?
So you're a gangbang guy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that I would participate in a gangbang.
I mean, maybe you would.
I mean, I have.
Okay.
But I've been in them, but one or two, many. But I don't, you know what I mean? But I'm like, okay, what am I going to watch? You know, like, you know, that's just stepdaughter porn.
I mean,
don't like that. I don't like it when,
you don't have to.
Let me show you how to perform fellatio. You know, oh, come on, you know.
I've over the years, here's some things that I enjoyed, if you're, because you didn't ask. like, sometimes there would be, like, you know, teacher-student things that are so clearly, like, they're definitely people the same age.
Right,
like,
right.
It's always, yeah. But I would get into,
that's your mom.
The pretend, you know. Yeah. There's a website that I used to go to called Beautiful Agony, which was real people, like not porn stars, and it was only usually just focused on people's faces while they orgasm. So you would just watch somebody like go from not orgasming to orgasming. And that was super, like, I like the sounds of orgasms.
Yeah. Sometimes it's funny to watch. It's like when it's like the variety of how people laugh.
Sure.
Right? I wonder, you know,
oh, yeah.
We should do a study like the difference between how people laugh and how they have orgasms.
I don't know if we should, but if some scientist out there wants to.
Right. If somebody, like,
if you want to, yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of
as
busy.
As a society. Yeah.
I mean, it might be something that might be interesting.
The royal we.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Pornhub back is a 2017 report know that there were 24.7 billion searches last year. The number one search. That'd be porn for women.
It just said, oh, that's the, oh, wow, that's great. This is the year of women.
Yeah, I'm telling you. What do you think? You think Oprah would make a good president?
I think Oprah would make a better president.
I don't think she'd make a good president at all. And when it came to global aspects, I think she would be completely lacking.
But compared to what we have now, do you?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna go on a limb and tell you this. I'm a Republican.
I understand.
And I understand why people don't like Trump. Trust me, I understand he's a buffoon. You know what I mean? I get all that. But sometimes in order to get the ship in order, you got to have some real complete fucking monster run things to kind of get the global order in place again.
How are things in place? Things aren't in place now.
No, well, you're seeing the G20, the rest of the world now stepping up to what they add to the United Nations and the
Know that they have to away from everything.
Well, they were saying this is the way it's going to be. In that movie, The Darkest Hour, one of the moments I liked the most was it was a great movie everywhere. But the King of England hated Churchill. Mm-hmm. He didn't like him. He's like, why is this guy our prime minister? And everybody's like, oh. But then he actually goes to meet with Churchill. And he's like, oh, I didn't think he liked me. And then he turns out, he goes, the reason I like you is because I know Hitler is scared of you. And in a certain aspect of global balance and where we were, is that where we're at now is that we have a fucking loose cannon there where the rest of the world is kind of fucking scared of him. And it may not be a bad thing at this moment to have that.
I understand what you're saying, but I disagree, if only because if you have one other lunatic that isn't scared, like Kim Jong-un, like if there are two lunatics, I do think that, I mean, I'm a psychology major. I'm not a therapist. I do know that the psychology psychology industry changed their rule of not diagnosing from afar because they're like, we have to diagnose this situation because he doesn't always make sense when he speaks. Like, that is, do you disagree with that?
Well, listen, I think that...
You do disagree with it. Are there times that he's spoken that you're like, I don't know why he's saying that or what that means?
There's things he's said in the past, like, why'd he say that? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many other things you could have said in its place and done it that way. But then again, I'm not in that position.
Well, let me say this. One specific example, when the sexual assault charges were lobbied against him because of the things that he said on the bus with Billy Bush, like that he would grab him by the pussy, that like he said that. And at the time he came out and said, I'm sorry that I said that. I didn't mean that. And then months later, he says, I don't even know if it was me that said that. Like, he says that he doesn't think that that there's a recording of actually said the things that he already did admit to saying.
Yeah, and the bigger picture, like I said, that doesn't, you know, too many, you know.
I really don't think he necessarily knows the things that happened in his own life.
Yeah, I think whether he said that, he's like, he's like, whatever. It's, you know, and that whole thing was silly to me anyway, you know, because most politicians, guys in positions like that, will say things like that anyway. And it was caught, you know.
I think guys shouldn't be in charge necessarily.
Well,
because they shouldn't be doing those
things. I wouldn't
mind
seeing a woman president, but not Oprah. And, you know, the woman who's now running, Nikki Haley, who was a former governor of North Carolina, I think she's phenomenal. I think she's a real strong woman. I think she, you know, she's a pretty, pretty cool cat. So believe me, I have nothing against a woman president. Just not Hillary Clinton or Oprah Winfrey.
I understand what you're saying.
A Miami man claimed he ran onto an airport runway because he couldn't read, police say, and his name wasn't Trump. A 41-year-old Florida man who allegedly ran onto the runway at Miami Airport, International Airport, on Monday, told police he had done so because he didn't know how to read. Forget the fact that big planes are flying by.
How did he get past security?
Yeah, like, how'd you even get in the car if you don't know how to read? Gregory Burns told police he made his way onto runway 9 because he couldn't read, but police said he ignored verbal warnings the news report said. And police officer wrote in the report that Burns told officers that he thought it would be faster to cross a runway rather than go around the entire airport.
So he was driving to get to the airport to get on a plane? Or
and he was actually on the runway himself. Like he thought, you know, like, I mean, who hasn't gotten lost in an airport every once in a while? Where's Terminal A, you know?
Sure.
But you sure as hell don't go onto the fucking... Onto the runway.
Don't even know how you'd get there.
Yeah, how do you make that mistake? See, some people, like, these are excuses. This is a person that somehow in his life, he made excuses, and somebody says, oh, this poor kid doesn't know what he's doing. And he got through it and bailed it, but not this time. Just saying, you can't say shit like that, you know? Just not going to get away with it nowadays.
Perhaps.
Here's another person who shouldn't get away with it. An Alabama man was accused of sexually molesting a horse.
Yeah, that sounds like I wouldn't recommend that either.
Horses are beautiful animals. Right, I mean they're majestic, they're beautiful, you know.
They
but
can't
I've never
consent to sex with a human. That
right,
even sense.
Yeah. You know they can't like knock their fucking hooves twice. You know, hey, can I play with your balls? You know, some that would still be loose for interpretation.
Certainly, I mean, if there are times when you know there's like a guy who I think I told a joke about this years ago, who had a horse like have sex with him. Like
right.
He was, you know, the bottom, and the horse was the top, and that is, I'm more okay with that. I mean, that guy died, but I'm more okay.
That was on video. That's the one where the guy got, he imploded, right? Basically, he everything disemboweled or whatever
and
happened.
It's not my favorite. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But if a horse is going to have sex with a person or a person's going to have sex with a horse, I would rather
the horse be the one given the.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's closer to consent.
Right. Because if the horse didn't want to, he'd pull out and say, hey, I'm done.
You'd think so.
Right. He wouldn't say it, but he would just turn the TV on or something and say, I want to want something else.
And this is, I'm sorry that this has to be done. I'm sorry for what I'm about to say, but nay means nay.
Exactly. Daniel Bennett, 18, of Irving, was awaiting trial after he allegedly told Mobile County Sheriff's officers, investigators, he attempted to molest a horse. The owner of the 20-year-old steed found Bennett in the barn Thursday at night after her dog's barking. And
this story sounds like that other one. Is this the same one?
No, this is a new one.
Okay.
Just more guys want to bang a horse.
Fair enough.
Upon being found, James said he told her he likes horses. He wanted to pet the horse. You know what that leads to?
Usually just petting a horse.
Yeah. Well, to me, you know, horses are majestic, but geez, you know, I mean, I've seen beautiful women, you know, and I won't go and pet them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to ask and get
consent.
Yes, yes.
You got to get consent.
It's true.
Just saying. Like I said, you know, I tell people all my life, I've never molested or raped anyone. Hashtag not me. Just saying.
I'm glad that you didn't.
No, I never, you know, I've been in college. I had moments like that. Women were passed out. And I'm a God-fearing man in a sense. So I would, you know, if nobody's watched, it didn't matter. I had to wake up with myself. I have a conscience.
Oh, yeah, and you know, that would be a horrible thing to do to a person.
Now, here's a story. A Swiss police arrest an 80-year-old man for a masked bank robbery.
That's an old man.
Yeah, I mean,
I say give it to him.
Why not? Right? I mean, all these movies about these old people robbing shit, like it's part of their bucket list. Wasn't that a movie? The bucket list?
That sounds right.
Berlin, a Swiss authority say they have apprehended an 80-year-old man because he couldn't get away in time. A man of allegations, he robbed a bank near the city of Lucerne. Lucerne Canton State prosecutors say told the man he was arrested the previous day in Lucerne area. He has confessed to the December mass robbery of the Bank of Megan. The suspect's name wasn't released in the line of privacy. Good for him.
Sure.
At the time of the robbery, police released a photo of the suspect showing him wearing a black mask, clutching a blue plastic bag. May have been a colonoscopy bag of money as he robbed the bank before he fled on foot.
You probably wouldn't want to put your money in the colostomy bag.
Yeah, you may want to get another bag.
But also, this is kind of, I mean, now I'm like sad because if you're 80 and you need to rob a bank, like that is what happened. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I don't, you know, by the way, Steve Marshall says hi.
Oh, hey.
Good buddy of ours. And yeah, I mean, you feel bad if you're 80 years old, now you're robbing banks. I mean, things are bad.
I mean, unless it's like that he's been robbing banks his whole life, right, and this is like his passion, you know, like if he's been doing comedy his whole life, right, and you're like, oh, wow, there, he's still at it.
He's like the Don Rickles of bank robberies.
I hope so.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Fair enough.
I want to thank, of course, Mike Kaplan for joining us today.
Thanks
and
so
also
much.
A big thanks for coming out. A lot of people said, why is Mike featuring?
Sure.
Right? I mean, you know, and I said, listen, you reached out, said I'm in town, and I said, I already had Rich booked, but... And I said, look, man, if you want to be,
I'm doing shows in Key West the next couple nights, and I flew in today to see my grandmother, and it was either keep hanging out with my grandmother, which I've put in a good amount of time, and I will for later parts of the weekend as well, but I like doing comedy, so
why not?
I've been happy to do shows with you before, and I'm happy to come back in a few months and do longer headlining sets myself.
Absolutely, we want you back, and you know, that's what I said to people. I've done that. People said, oh, you feature. I'm like, if somebody wants me on the show and I'm free, I don't care. I'll MC. I'll do whatever, anything to be on stage. Right, it's not like I'm not going to be like I got a headliner. Fuck that, you know what I mean? It's part of the show, you know what I mean?
Fuck that, indeed.
That's right. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening to us this week. Don't forget, you can hear us on Bubba Army Radio on Saturdays and Sundays from 4 to 6. Go to our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. And this week, actually tomorrow night, Rich and I will be at the Farmer's Table in Boca Raton, and then like Rich Men on Friday and Saturday, we'll be at the Comedy Inn in Miami. And you're going to be at Bottle Caps, Key West Comedy.
That sounds right.
Yep. This is always a great room, by the way. Have you ever done it?
No, this is my first time to Key West for comedy or otherwise.
You've never been to Key West?
Never.
Oh, good. You're going to love it down there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to go. My cousin's going to come with me. We're going to have a
fun drive just to go down there.
Yeah,
It's really nice.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday. Then I'm doing some stuff at, I think it's Paradise something. There's a comic book convention near the Miami airport that I'm performing at on Saturday.
Perfect. Anyway, guys, check out where can they find you?
Mike Kaplan, MYQKAPLAN, anywhere online, you know, Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, YouTube, your home. Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for listening again. And don't forget, we'll be back next week with all new shows. Thanks for watching, and we'll be back next week right here at the same spot. Take care.
Bye.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as he landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Through the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children of the